Hey guys, welcome to episode 49 of Fit Friends Happy Hour. Today we are talking about taking a social media detox. Now, before you just switch your phone to Facebook or Instagram or whatever your instinct is to do, hear us out. We're going to talk about the pros and cons of social media, why it's such a challenge, why you should or maybe should not do a detox from social media, and really just give our opinions on both sides so that you can make the best decision for you. All right, on to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
Hi, Lauren.
Hey, Katie.
Episode 49. It's been about a year now since we started, right?
Yeah, it's been about a year, and it's been a fun one.
I'm proud of us, one, that we've just haven't stopped this, and two, that we still have ideas.
Yeah, and we just did an episode a couple weeks ago about eating healthy while pregnant, and I was looking back at previous episodes, and our second episode was why you should work out while you're pregnant. So I was like, oh, totally forgot we even did that.
And we've started interviewing guests now, which is super exciting. I think it's good to get different voices on the podcast, hear different opinions, and just different perspectives on fitness and health and everything we talk about.
Yeah. And speaking of health, I think this topic, social, like doing a social media detox, is more mental health or like social health, if that's even a thing. And honestly, I'm going to just come out and say it. This does not sound appealing to me. Like, this is not something that I really even want to do. But I know that I probably should. If I'm resistant to it, then it's probably a good idea for me.
I know when I first brought this up, you were like, wait, but why? Do we need to? Is this necessary? Which, anytime you have to ask yourself that when it comes to habits, I think absolutely that means it's even more necessary.
So at this point, we both aren't sure how long we're going to do our social media detox, but we are going to do one, and we're going to do it together shortly after we release this podcast. So keep your eyes peeled on our Instagram page, and we'll tell you when exactly we're going to start it. So if you want to do a day, if you want to do a week, whatever it is, you can start with us and we can not talk to each other during it.
If you are like us and this idea of this challenge and not being on your phone, computer, any social media for any length of time, if it makes your heart race a little bit, then hear us out. Let's talk about the pros and cons because we're positive people. So we're going to start with the pros of social media.
And right before we get into that, I do want to say we're talking about, you know, getting off social media entirely for whatever period of time. So one thing that I've done that I did years ago was take notifications off of my apps so that I don't get notified whenever someone tags me in something but I check it so often that it doesn't really even matter. You know, I'm just checking it and then I'll see my notifications. But if you're looking for something to kind of like wean yourself into it, maybe that would be a good move.
I too did that a long time ago, but yeah, then you just readjust and I feel like you check your phone just as much. But before we get into the negatives, let's start with the positives. The first pro that I see to social media is the ability to connect to people all over the world. I know, especially having an online health and fitness business and just being in the fitness and health industry, it's allowed me to meet people and stay in contact. I think specifically, this is a good example of staying in contact with people that I've met studying abroad, right? It's not very easy for us to text and stay connected, but it sounds silly, but I can Snapchat them and like their Instagrams and comment on pictures and things. And I still feel that close connection to them, even when they're halfway across the country, even though we're not quite on the level where I would give them a call every day or text them every day, but I still feel that personal connection in that way.
I agree with acquaintances. So people that you're not going to text, but you can still keep caught up with their lives because of social media. I think that's a huge benefit. And this makes me think of high school reunions. So I am going to be out of high school for 10 years in 2018. And, you know, David and I have talked about like our high school reunions. Personally, that's not my thing. Like, I wouldn't go to my high school reunion. And I think it's number one, because I'm antisocial, and two, because of social media. It's like we know what all these people are doing. You know, you know where a lot of people's lives have gone. And I think the whole point of going to a high school reunion is to kind of like rekindle friendships that maybe that died. And, oh, you have so much in common now. It's like, well, yeah, but that happens on social media nowadays. So I think the use of that, of a reunion, is kind of gone.
Yeah, I don't need to know if Joe Schmo, everyone talks about weight at the reunions, right? I don't need to know if Joe Schmo ended up being a hot body now, you know. I can just look him up on Facebook and see what he looks like. It's terrible, but it's true.
Just the term hot body is such an like old person term, I think. That's why that's so funny. But yeah, so definitely connecting with people all over the world, that has to be a pro. The second pro that I see is connecting with people that have a common interest. What we're trying to do with the podcast is connect people from all over the country, all over the world, that are around the same age, have the same interests. Because, you know, if you're living in a small town, you might not know that many people that are interested in health and fitness, or you might not know that many people that are make it happen types. So connecting with other people on that common interest is a benefit of social media.
I think of this too with the Smart Success event we went to for Shalane Johnson's basically life coaching type event, right? People who are wanting to be entrepreneurs, just live a better life. We were allowed to connect with a lot of those people on the internet before going. And so you get to know people before you even meet them in person. I know with the people I'm master trainers with, that's the only way we communicate is through Facebook. But I talk to them so much through social media and through, you know, web calls and different things, which I think that's a little bit different, but still the same, that I feel like I know them before I even meet them in person, which is, again, kind of going back to that similar interest, and we can bond over the internet over different things. It sounds so stupid talking about this in person, like how you talk about social media, but that's truly what it is like now.
Yeah, and even more in kind of a sadder tone, you know, if you are diagnosed with some really rare disease, joining support groups online and meeting people, even if it's solely online, that have the same disease that you or your loved one has. I mean, that can be huge for people. That can help people on a daily basis get through whatever they're getting through. So, I mean, that's powerful in a very positive way.
Right. There's Facebook groups for everything. I mean, we even use it with my dietitian job for my bariatric patients. We have an online support group. Like, that is what, and people will tell me every day that how much they rely on that and how much it helps them. And it's just amazing that they get that much just from reading and connecting. And, you know, people say, oh my gosh, you guys have helped me so much through support. And a lot of these people have never even met, but they're helping each other along their journey, whether it's, like you said, a disease or surgery or some other traumatic event. Kind of along the lines of sharing experiences, I think in your news feeds, whatever social media platform it is, there's so much information, right? Now, you have to take everything with a grain of salt of what's credible and not credible, but almost every major news channel or, you know, credible organization is on these social media outlets. And a lot of times, you know, Twitter notifications, you might get those, that information about some traumatic event sooner than if you were to pull it up on TV. Or information is so rapid and so rapidly shared, both good and bad, depending what the information is.
Yeah, and just learning about different products and different experiences that other people have, like that there's hot air balloon festivals all over the world, or that there's a Snuggie that's shaped like a pizza. You know, just we just come into contact with so much more information because we're using these platforms on such a regular basis.
And how many times do you go to Facebook or whatever it is and say, looking for a new hairdresser, who has recommendations, or looking for a babysitter? Like, we use it to gather information, get resources. I know there's a group that sells Lululemon in the city, like just everything you can find.
Yeah, and just seeing that stuff then puts that seed in your head of like, oh yeah, I do need more Lululemon clothes. Like, funny that you brought up the hairstylist, because I was seeing multiple posts about like people getting their hair cut and hairstylist recommendations that it encouraged me to go get my hair cut. So, I mean, people are making money off of this. That is 100% for sure, which is the best segue for the last pro, which this is actually on our pro and our con list, but the pro is advertising. So you can come into contact, if you have a product or a service, you can show that product and service to millions of people. You can write an ebook in one night and put it up on your social media and say, hey guys, I'm selling this for $5, and your reach could be millions of people. So that's kind of a lower scale of it. And then obviously big scale of the, you know, these big companies that are advertising to all of us on social media. And once again, just putting those seeds in our heads of hey, you do really need those Nike shoes that you looked at yesterday.
You also hear about people becoming overnight YouTube sensations, or I think of Ellen, the TV show Ellen DeGeneres, how she'll just find these random amazing kids, you know, who have terrible stories or whatever their issue is and struggle, and she brings them on their show and basically saves their life, you know, just, which is awesome. You see the pros of that, how that person has helped from just being discovered on social media. On the flip side of advertising, there's definitely cons to this topic. How many times have you been searching a pair of shoes online and then it pops up on your Instagram feed? I swear sometimes I'm thinking about a product and it shows up on my Facebook. It is almost creepy and feels like a total invasion of privacy.
Yeah, and this is more of a personal thing. I think some people, this really bothers them. And other people, they're like, oh, who cares? We're being watched all the time anyway. Like, that's just the reality. And some people, this keeps them off social media entirely because they don't like this idea that your privacy is being invaded. But I think, like, the ads that we see that are like, that go from social media network to social media network, that's weird. But it's when you look something up on Amazon on your phone and then you go onto like your work computer that you don't think that those are connected, and yet they are, because you've been on Facebook on both of those devices. So Facebook has been able to track all that. That's creepy. Like, I think there's just certain times that it hits you. You're like, oh, wait, that's weird. By the way, this one time I was looking to buy David a grill, I think for his birthday, like a couple years ago. He found out because of ads, because I was searching for different grills. It was popping up when he was like looking up stuff on the internet. He was seeing all these advertisements for grills, and so he was like, clearly Lauren's been looking at grills.
Way to go, social media. There's another con. You're ruining all birthday surprises.
All right, so transferring into the cons of social media, this one's the first one that comes to my mind always, is cyberbullying. Duh. I mean, this is a huge negative to social media. And we can think of this kind of more on the smaller scale of like high school cyberbullying. Not that that's less significant, but it is smaller compared to people that are on TV shows or get discovered somehow. All of a sudden, they go from being a regular nobody to being someone that a lot of people know, and they just get so much scrutiny. And that wouldn't happen if it wasn't for social media. It wouldn't be to that huge degree. So I've never gone through this. I really haven't been cyberbullied at all. But I imagine that, like, the people that are going through high school nowadays, that it's a lot rougher than it was when I was there.
Another scary thing to this, and I think it's a serious problem, but there's actually Instagram accounts that support anorexia and depression, and basically, you know, people posting that kind of, it's, if it's a mental health issue or something, where it's almost promoted, and right, different people who are struggling with that, who don't know it clearly, you know, maybe high school, maybe young female girls, but they find that connection on social media, which is not for the right reasons.
Yeah, that just makes me sick to my stomach thinking about that. Like, that's really sad. You could also take this in another direction of, from a parent's perspective, of your children being exposed to creepsters or information that they don't know about yet, that kind of thing. And it's a hurdle that everyone has to go through on how soon are your kids going to get social media accounts and how do you keep that privacy to a certain setting, blah, blah, blah. So that's just lots of things to consider.
Kind of bouncing off how kids are exposed, I think this definitely affects kids, but also adults as far as, I don't know the best way to say this, but almost being self-centered or being critical and not, you know, let's say, for example, it's very common now. It's not out of the ordinary at all for people to post selfies. Great if it's providing value, I think it just depends. But then, you know, from a personal perspective, you're posting that picture and you're gauging your self-worth on the number of likes and the comments, how many comments you get, and checking to see if someone else liked it. And it almost gives us this false sense of beauty or whatever word that you want to tie to it. It's just weird.
Yeah, and this just makes me think of Instagram is just being obsessed with your image and not just what your face looks like or what your body looks like, but what your house looks like and what your kids look like and what your school looks like. And all of that is just, you know, we've heard this a million times, but, you know, you see the highlight reel of everyone's lives on Instagram and people want to, I mean, we all want our lives to look good, and what we post on, we pick and choose what we post on Instagram. I mean, not everyone's posting like the ugliest per picture of themselves. So it's a weird thing because of course you want the best photos of yourself to be out there, but how is that affecting us long term? You know, are we getting too obsessed with our self-image, and are we all kind of closing in on ourselves and not thinking about all the other stuff we could be thinking about? I don't know. And then while you're worrying about what exactly your Instagram looks like, at the same time, your account could get hacked. And all of that can be like kind of stripped away from you. And it's weird because it's like, at one time, it's like, who cares? It's an online profile. But at the same time, it's part of who you are. You know, if you're trying to get into a college or you're trying to get a new job and your account gets hacked and it's posting racist things or who knows, whatever, then they might think like, oh no, that's Lauren Wrighton that's posting that. Like, it's such a weird mind tease of like, I've never had my accounts hacked before, but like, I know it'd probably mess with me more than I would anticipate.
And it's freaky. There's just so much tied to your social media accounts and your passwords. And it's not just about how tricky your password can be made, but it's those security questions that people can find out what your mom's middle name is, what your first dog's name is, you know, all those different things. And we don't think about it, but identity theft and just hacking in general is a real thing. And people think that it can happen just to major accounts, but the hackers will go for anyone. They don't necessarily need the biggest and the baddest people to follow.
Yeah, and one of the best pieces of advice that I've heard about identity theft, or more specifically hacking of profiles, is to never answer questions on Facebook. You know, if people are like, oh, I'm bored, answer these questions with me. And it's like, what was the first concert you went to? What was your dog's name? Like, don't repost that and answer all the questions truthfully about yourself, because I don't know, I don't want to believe that like a hacker is out there trying to get information like that, but you're therefore putting those answers out there. And it's like, I mean, whenever I think of what was the first concert you went to, that sounds like a security question to me. I would never put that answer out there now, because it's like, that's actually an important answer.
GIFs are another story. Post all the GIFs you want. I don't know if they can hack that. The most obvious, I think, and critical con is time. We may waste so much freaking time on social media. I want to just like gouge my eyes out because I'm so guilty of this.
And this morning, I got up at 5:30 and I sat in my bed until at least 5:45 on my phone on social media. Oh my gosh, that's so annoying. Like, I annoyed myself that I did it.
Story of my life. Like, when you just go to check, or you open Facebook and then you close it and then go to Instagram and then go back to Facebook, like you missed something in the past 2 seconds. Like, I hate myself.
Yeah, and it's like, why was I not just sleeping? Like, I should have just gone back to bed. And 15 minutes is nothing on social media. I mean, that's not even that long a time. I know I can easily sit on my phone another perfect example, when Sammy goes to bed, when she takes a nap during the day, I might only have an hour or so. I tell myself, like, Lauren, do not sit on the couch and look at your phone, because then 45 minutes will go by of me doing stuff on my phone, some productive, mostly not, and then I've wasted all this time. So, yes, time waster, 100%.
If you want a freaky reality check, download this app called Moment. I don't even know what to tell you. Be prepared for what you're about to discover about yourself. But it tells you, you can set time limits on how much you're... Now, this is for on your phone in general. I'm sure there's an app out there that breaks down the different apps. So you can target how much time you've spent on Facebook, how much time you spend on... This app, you can set timers to not be on social media after 9 or before a certain time in the morning. But it's hard. I've downloaded it and I had to turn it off because I couldn't stick to it. And you can even adjust a setting to where if you're on your phone longer than X amount of minutes, it has this ridiculous alarm that you can't just close out. Like, you have to go in the app, redo your settings. Like, it's obnoxious.
I've heard about this app that it makes you wait 3 seconds or something before you can open Facebook. Basically, it's asking you, are you sure you want to open it? And so you have to wait those 3 or 5 seconds before Facebook will open, and it's supposed to make you realize, oh, actually, I don't need to look at Facebook again. But I've never looked into downloading it. It's like you hear all these ideas and then you just like go back on your phone and check social media.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great. I'll get to that after I look at this post. I was teaching a fitness class to one person, not personal training, teaching a group fitness class. That's beside the point. And this woman was a teacher and she taught, I think, 7th grade. And she was just telling me how hard it is to teach this grade of kids now because they have such lack of social skills and interacting with one another and interacting with the teacher. And all the kids have iPads and they're on their phones. And one thing that really surprised me about this is that she said the parents are the ones that are texting the kids during school. You know, and back in the day when we went off to school, it was, okay, mom, I'm going to school. You're going to pick me up from soccer at this time and take me, da da da. You had all that planned out. Parents don't have that. And I'm not saying all parents. This is what she said. Parents don't have that discussion in the morning. It's, well, why would I talk about it? Or, you know, I'll just text them during class, or just the little things that you don't need to be on their phone for. They're texting about it.
That's so interesting, though, that this teacher has seen these kids have, in her opinion, that they have like less or worse social skills. I mean, I don't want to believe that. Our generation, and I'm sure majority of the people listening to the podcast, we didn't grow up with social media in the same way that people are growing up with social media now. We kind of straddled that line. So I don't, you know, we had like AIM, but that was different than, you know, than Facebook. I mean, it's crazy different.
And not to mention, you had to dial up to get onto AIM, and that meant blocking all your other siblings from using the phone and getting caught if you try to go on after 10 p.m.
That's so funny that you said something about siblings, because I always think that too. Yeah, which then people wanted to be on the phone, and also people wanted to play Sims. Did you play that?
Did I play Sims?
I think this idea that we are interacting less with people, it's hard. Number one, you and I are not social scientists, so, you know, we're not like actually evaluating this on a regular basis. But I've seen this graphic before that people say, like, oh, back before we all had phones, you get onto a bus and all these people have their phones and they're looking at stuff. And back before that, like, people were probably talking to each other. No, they weren't talking to each other. They held their magazines or newspapers. Like, I don't, in a certain sense, I don't think that people are being like less social because people either want to talk to each other or they don't. But it makes it so much easier for us to not care about who's around us. It makes us almost feel as if we have this huge network of friends. But at the same time, it makes us feel alone. I think that's the weird dynamic of social media.
I think, too, personally, how you present yourself on social media, I actually, to be honest, have to check myself because I find myself being super enthusiastic and yeah, cheerleader all the time on social media. But then in reality, if you meet me in person, I'm not necessarily always that outgoing and I'm not woohoo, woohoo, you know, woo girl. And so I have to remind myself, what am I putting out there? Is that being me? Am I being true to the person? Maybe I want to be on social media. And it's a weird thing to think about.
Yeah, I think about that in the same way too, of like, how much of your struggle do you share before you become like a Debbie Downer? And how much positivity do you share before you're like annoying or not authentic anymore? So it's interesting.
Last thing I want to add on this is that the pediatric recommendation for being on screens in general is 2 hours a day. And I think that's a great recommendation for adults as well. So really the take-home message though is, you know, social media is what you make of it. Do you make it a positive thing that brings value and positivity and motivation and encouragement to your life? Or is it something that's negative? Do you find yourself feeling crappy about yourself after you look at your newsfeed? Do you feel sad? Whatever these negative emotions are when you get off social media or when you're engaging in it.
Yeah, and this makes me think about how you can really use social media to educate yourself. A lot of times we dig ourselves into these interests that we already have, and we friend people that have the same views that we have on politics and religion and all of this. But really, we could be using social media to learn about different views of the world, whether or not we agree with them, but opening our eyes and, you know, learning more about different views of the world. I think that's a huge benefit, but you can easily just only read the things that you agree with. And that kind of, I don't think that's beneficial.
Regardless of whether you want to take the challenge or not, I think everyone listening to this should do almost like a cleanup, a social media cleanse. Go through your Instagram, you know, through each person that pops up, you know, ask yourself, is this adding value? Does this make me feel positive or inspired or some sort of positive emotion? Does it make me laugh? If not, unfollow or hide from your newsfeed, because I just don't think we need more of that in our lives, and that can help it be more positive than negative.
Yeah, and the way that I'm looking at this challenge to try to encourage myself to do it is that if I'm not on social media, then I'm going to actually have to text people, you know, and ask them like, hey, how's it going? So maybe that's another way you can look at it as, you know, who do I feel connected to on social media, but I'm actually not really talking with them on a individual basis. And I should be, because they're a friend, or I want to be closer to them. So how can you build relationships off of social media? Because you're going to have all this time because you're not time wasting. So I think the cons are really compelling. Like, okay, yeah, I really should just give myself a little bit of a social media cleanse. But then it also makes me think, can I really step away? Not because I'm addicted to social media, but because I'm so connected through my work on social media. I'm sure other people are connected with other groups that they're in that maybe they really don't feel as if they can step away for very long. So I guess that's the question you really have to ask yourself is, what all are you going to be giving up? And do you have to like let your work know, hey, I'm going to be off Facebook for a couple days. And is that okay with them?
I know I always say if it weren't for work, I wouldn't have social media. I think I say that as an excuse. The reality is I do see the pros, but I can admit that I think to an extent I'm addicted, and I definitely need to be more productive with my time on there. If it is for work, get on there, check what I need to check, get to the point, and then get off. I personally need to start limiting. I need to sleep on how much of a detox I can realistically commit to, whether that's a day, 7 days. I'll be honest, that is hard. That would be very hard for me.
I'm just not interested in doing 7 days, which I think that means I have a problem. But I mean, it's great to think about. Yeah. I think maybe I could do like a weekend. I think that would be a good idea. But I agree with you on limiting times. Like, okay, so if we're using the excuse of, oh, well, we have to be on social media because of work. Okay, well, then only be on social media when you're at work. So when you're not working, which I guess if you're an entrepreneur, then you don't really have hours. But, you know, maybe we should think about, like, especially between Katie and I and whoever it can relate to this, maybe you only get on social media certain hours, like 8 to 5, or even just say, like, okay, I'll get on at 9 a.m. for 10 minutes, and then I'll get on at 12 a.m. for 10 minutes, and then 3 p.m., and that's it. So I get 30 minutes of being on social media the whole day. So, yeah, I feel like there's ways that can work with people, and if that would really limit in a good way.
Well, before you go on your cleanse, be sure to like us on Instagram and follow us at Fit Friends Happy Hour. But let us know if you are going to participate in this social media detox. We'll be sure to post what exactly we're committing to. We're not quite sure yet, but we'll come up with something. And we would love for you guys to join in on the challenge with us. I think we all could learn a lot, and we could then after the cleanse discuss on social media about what we learned and hopefully come out better and more aware for it.
Well, that is it for today. Thanks so much for listening. As always, let us know what you think by sending us an email at fitfriendshappyhour@gmail.com. Send this episode to a friend that probably needs to hear it as bad as Katie and I do.
I have an idea. Send this to that friend who you're trying to talk with over lunch and they're not paying attention and they're on their phone. Nothing more annoying, right? So you should just, while they're not paying attention to you, quickly send them this episode and then just stare while it comes to their phone.
It makes me think of that person that's like, when you're with them, they're always on social media, but they never post. Like, what's up with that person?
Troll.
They're like ghosting. They're like, they see everything, but they don't like anything and they don't post anything. That person needs to get off social media. All right, that is it. We will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.